Hi, docs. I'm Dr. Latifah. I'm the host of the Money Fit MD podcast. This is where we help badass women physicians just like you learn simple and effective tools to build wealth from the inside out. That way, we can create wealth and bigger impact without all the burnout. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, before today's episode, I want to let you know that this is part of the Recession RX series that I did, where I interviewed humans that are doing amazing things and sharing how they are prepping themselves for the recession. Here is the deal. This is a gift of love, and I have three asks of you. One, listen, enjoy, and take action. Number two, I want you to take this information and share it with those that you like. Share it with your friends, share it with your neighbors, share it with your colleagues. Let's get the word out because we are going to be prepped and not panicked. And then three, I want you to leave us a review and let us know exactly what you love about this episode. This is 100% free gift to you, but I would love it if you do all the three things. Thank you. And don't forget to tag me, MoneyFitMD. Love you guys. Enjoy this episode.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode with Dr. Latifah. How are you guys doing today? I hope you're doing fabulous. For those that are just finding us, as you know or not, we are in the middle of a series that I'm doing on how physicians can be prepped for whatever it is that may be here, may be there, or may be coming. The bottom line is 3 to 5 years from now, I want every woman physician to be able to look back and say, I'm good because I watched those videos or listen to this podcast. And now as a result, I did the stuff, changed or kept the status quo, but I'm more prepped and not freaking out or in panic zone. So as part of that, I've been inviting some of my people to come hang out with y'all. And I have the pleasure of having Bunny Koo here with me today. Welcome, Bunny.
Welcome. Or actually, no, you're welcoming me.
This is not your podcast, woman.
This is what happens when you have a podcast. You're used to saying, welcome to the show. Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for those that may not know you, can you share with us in a few words, why are you someone that they should listen to for today?
Oh, in a few words. Let's see.
Okay, making many words.
Many words, yeah. Well, so I'm a physician. I'm a dermatologist by training, although I pretty much retired from medicine a few years ago. And I am a coach like you. And I coach women on money and how to feel like a badass, right? Because they're all badasses, but a lot of them don't feel like one. So
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to where you are when it comes to money? And I know you've been on my podcast before, but some people, it's literally their first time meeting me even here. So just share with us, like, what's been your journey through medicine and through money specifically, actually?
Yeah. So I think this is a great question because I think it's really easy to look at someone like you or me and just be like, oh my God, has like, it seems complicated, like where we are in terms of what we do. But so I think it's just important to say, like, my motto is start simple, get fancy later. And I literally pretty much knew zero. I'm trying to think, what year is it? 7 years ago, right? And I started with just trying to figure out what a 401k was. I remember because I started my first attending job is basically how I even got into all this. And I just started reading about it and educating myself, but that's literally all I knew and did for like maybe the first 2 years. Basically, the conclusion was, I'm just going to put everything in a target fund because they do it for you. Why not? And yeah, I got a little fancier later, but looking back, it wasn't necessary. I just tell all my clients, like, you don't have to do a target fund. You could always change it later, but like, you got to do something, right? So it's, you know, you got to do something. And then it kind of just went from there, but I added things pretty much one at a time. And then now I have multiple investments and I have knowledge of multiple things, but I think it's just important to say it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% because I didn't start until 6 years ago either. And even before then, the reason why it took me so long was I had this idea in my mind that in order to do money, you had to know what was happening in the stock market and care about the Dow and all those stupid stuff that I still don't care about till today and I don't even look out for. And it was more of the fear of the complication was what was making me avoid my finances even more so than the actual complication, because money really... You know, it's funny. I just did an interview on someone else's podcast and I was sharing with them how as women physicians, we need to understand that if money was hard, we would automatically get it. The only reason why we don't automatically get it is because it's actually simpler than what we're looking. So it's like, we need to look that it's simple. And for me, when I got that, that really helped me realize that, you know what? Maybe it's not hard and it can be simple. And that actually helps you lower down all this barrier and fear of fighting and like ready to like slay the money. It's like, actually, it's algebra. You're like, what? That's all
it is.
I
don't even know if it's that advanced.
Right? But yeah, right? It's like that fear that it's going to be hard, but it's simple. And I'm all a fan of one thing at a time. I have a chicken. Actually, we have two chickens. So I use like chicken egg analogy. I'm like, just poop a chicken egg and then poop another egg and then poop another egg. But that's like literally how you invest one thing and then one thing and then one thing. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. And then the education like compounds, like, right. Cause it kind of goes faster and faster each time. I think the activation energy and the first like hump, like for most people, that is a thing. But then it's kind of like medicine, right? It didn't happen overnight. You kind of like, and then things kind of layered and eventually you're like, oh my God, I actually know a lot, right?
Absolutely. Everything compounds. So I am curious to know what you are doing or what you would educate your women or educate your sister to do, because everyone is talking about this recession. And I know I'm not an advisor. You're not an advisor as well. But we educate, we share what we do, we share what we know so that we can empower other women physicians. So what do you want to share with us today?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because I have actually not thought about it. And when I say I haven't thought about it, it's not because I'm avoiding it, but I guess... the term recession or whatever people are talking about, like, doesn't scare me is really what it comes down to. And then the question is why? Because someone asked this recently. I'm not an expert in recession, right? So I think this is also good to know is like, I don't know every little nuanced thing about money because not necessary, you know, unless you're maybe a financial advisor or you're like an economics person that's on TV. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I feel like half the time they don't know what they're doing either, right? But they're talking on these like TV things so people think they know what they're doing. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But I think the recession it's like mainly based on the stock market, like how companies are doing. And that's because the majority, actually, I don't know. See, I'm just like making shit up here. A lot of people have their money tied to the stock market because that's what 401ks are, et cetera. So I understand the concern, especially if you're closer to retirement. But even if there wasn't a recession, part of me is like, but you need a plan because the market does go down. So if they had that plan in place, I guess my thinking is it should be okay. And here's what I mean by that is, if you're solely relying on stock investments, which a lot of people do, then you have to be able to weather a downturn. And you said 3 to 5 years. So that could be different things for different people. So for some people, it's going to be like, I need to have 3 years in cash. Maybe five. I actually don't know anyone who has 5 years in cash. Three, like 1 to 3 is what I hear. Or it just depends on the resources that you're going to have coming in, right? So if you're on Social Security, like that's, I think of Social Security as like a fixed bond, right? It's a fixed payment that you get. So I'm spending some time talking about the stock market, but I don't even really think about that either. And maybe it's because I'm quote unquote young and I don't need the money. I'm not taking the money out actively. So I don't even really think about it. I had a friend who just texted me this morning. He's like, hey, did you buy Tesla stock? And I was like, what are you talking about? I've been getting into individual stocks lately. So I have been watching the market a bit more. But that's just a recent sort of thing I'm learning about. So back to what I was saying, like it doesn't scare me. And I guess, you know, going back to my question, why doesn't it scare me? Well, part of it is because I do have money in multiple places. That's one thing. And I talk about like, you want to have as many legs or income streams, whatever you want to call it. So I think of it as a table. And the more legs you have, if you fall down, the table will still be up. But the majority of physicians have like their job and they have a retirement account. And that's very fragile, I guess, right? Because a retirement account's actually not paying you. So it's not really a leg if you think about it. So that's kind of my long answer there. Plus, I really do have the belief that I can always figure it out and that I can always make money.
So the point is to be prepped so you don't panic. And when you prep, you panic less. You may still freak out a little bit, but when you use some of the skills, the coaching skills, in terms of the mindset work, and also remind your brain that you have a plan, then you're less likely to panic. And that's the point of this entire thing, because what happens mostly is people were not already prepped before, right? We talk about emergency funds and having like 3 to 6 months of cash, right? We talk about paying your future self with investing and using the power of compounding. And like you said earlier, that could be as simple as index funds or target funds. And if you don't actually need the cash right now, if you don't need the money right now, then you actually don't necessarily lose money as long as you're diversified when the market goes down. It's when you sell that you may lose money or gain money or whatever. But the key is, and I love that you pointed this out, which is you prep so you don't have to think about it. And yes, that's something that I want more women physicians to be doing. And that's the whole point of doing this podcast series. And that's the whole point of the 90 episodes that I got on my podcast already for today, right? So that we can have a plan. We can be prepped so that we don't have to panic. And also working on the power of that mindset to know that we can be resourceful to find ways of creating money. Is that about what you said?
Yeah, basically. I had an amazing thought while you were saying that, and I totally forgot, but it'll come back.
No, that was a tease. It's like, I had this amazing thought, but I don't remember.
This happens all the time. I always tell people, like, I'm very forgetful. And there's a running joke in the family. You want to hear it? I don't think I told you.
Tell me.
Well, number one, they make fun of me because I watch the same movies over and over again. It's not because I forget the plot. I might forget the details. I forgot the plot. And so this is what they say. You forget the plot of Taken. The plot is in the title.
Okay. All right. That's funny.
I don't forget the plot of Taken. Okay. But I do watch that movie over and over again.
I love it. But you know, it's okay. This is going to sound funny, but that's whatever, guys. We're just having a conversation here. That's also part of the point. I see so many people that judge themselves because they don't remember things. And I've literally said, guys, as physicians, there are times when we don't remember stuff and we check on up to date to refresh our memory, and we don't think that's a problem. However, when we don't remember lingos, when we don't remember what a freaking 403B means, we judge ourselves when we can just refer back to a source and say, okay, this is a dictionary of terminologies. I learned that before. I don't remember, but I'm going to refresh my brain. Zero shame, zero guilt. Nothing wrong with referring to stuff.
You can Google everything.
And you can watch Taken again.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Anyways, anything else you want to share with us about money or mindset? And guys, I don't want people panicking. Like I literally did an episode on my podcast a couple of weeks ago or months ago about how to prep for a recession. And part of that was like, don't freak out, stay the course. What's your plan? But the thing is, I'm doing this not so that you guys can panic. I'm doing it so you can have a plan so you don't panic. So anyways, what else do you want to share with us when it comes to-
I remembered my brilliant thought.
Tell me your brilliant thought.
I mean, it's not my thought, but I remember reading that many new millionaires are created during recessions. So I just love that fact. It's a fact. And so I think it'd be interesting for everyone to be like, well, how did that happen? Like, how does that happen? And that goes back to what you just said. It's being resourceful. So, you know, for physicians, they're doctors. And so, well, with COVID, I guess you can't say they'll always have a job, but still pretty much you can always get some type of work. And even though, like, when I really think about me, for example, so like, you know, I have a business now and that's all I do in terms of for money. But, you know, if something happens and my business isn't doing well, like I can work as a dermatologist. I might have to do some remedial CME work maybe. But it's not like I'm a surgeon, because I have talked to other doctors, like, well, how does it work if you took a leave of absence? And the thing is, it's not as uncommon as you think for doctors to take leave of absence, and there are ways to re-enter the workforce. So I have that in mind. But even if I couldn't work in medicine, like, I just feel like I think, you know what the thought is? I can figure it out.
Absolutely. And that is a resourcefulness that we already have. It's not something we have to learn. It's something we already have. And we just have to understand that skill set, we use it in medicine all day. And it's something that also we just have to expand into our finances. But I do agree with you that we underestimate the power that we have to create money, because we've a lot of times looking in one place only. We're looking in our clinical income from that specific hospital only. As part of the series, I actually just interviewed someone, a fantastic doctor, Dr. Freeman, who is the locums doc. And I believe that physicians underestimate the power of locums when it comes to having additional sources of how we want to use our clinical brain, because of course we can make money without being clinical. But yeah, I completely agree with you that it's important to know that we should not freak out. And the reason why I keep talking about 3 to 5 years is, number one, I've also heard it, but I really do feel it in my spirit. Like, a lot of millionaires are made during downturns because things are on sale, right? That is when you buy. We literally bought a property for 6 figures less than what it was like 2.5 months ago. That would not have happened to 2.5 months ago, right? But that is opportunity that we're able to take because, number one, is we have our cash in order, we are resourceful, and we've learned the skills already that is going to serve well, even in the middle of a recession. So as physicians, if you're watching this video, what skill set do you need to have? It's not going to ever be useless, right? And whether it's learning how to invest in individual stock as a part of a larger complete, you know, financial plan or whatever diversification strategy, not putting all of your eggs in one basket, whether it's learning what a target fund is, learning what an index fund is, learning how to invest in real estate, how to buy businesses. But I 100% agree that a lot of millionaires are made during downturns. And also that's when a lot of wealth transfer happened. So that's why I'm doing this, because I want all y'all to be part of that. I want us to have a party in 3 years, like in 2025, where we're like, yes, we did it. Like, I'm so amazed by compounding, and it's going to keep compounding. And it's just the value of stuff is already coming up. And I took advantage when the market was down.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say, unless you had more questions, is I think it just really shows the importance of the need for multiple streams of incomes, because like the way we're taught about money growing up is like you get a job and then that's it. But that's just so precarious, as you know. And so even if you're not planning, because I think a lot of times I'll say this and people are like, well, I'm not planning on retiring. I'm like, that's fine, right? It's not a problem. Like I'm so glad that you love your job and you want to keep working and have other streams of income. And like, it's recession proof and people change their minds. They might want to take a little break. They might want to go part-time, whatever. You don't know what the future is going to hold. And part of the planning, as you keep mentioning, is having multiple streams of income. What do they say? 7 streams is what Rich Dad Poor Dad says. I don't know.
Yeah, people say 7 streams. I'm like, I don't care what people say. I just say, just get one more.
Yeah, and start with one more.
Just right? Start with one more. And the other thing I like to tell people is sometimes people think diversifying, but they stretch themselves too much. And each leg of the table is like a noodle as opposed to solid. So like, I don't want you to have $5 in a 401k. And then $5 in a taxable account. Like, make the leg solid. Each leg, build on it. There is benefit to actually like building it, starting it and making it strong. And then you get another source and then you make it and build it strong. Because there's also the power of focus as well, right?
Yes.
Bonnie's laughing at my noodles. Comment.
What?
I thought you were laughing at my noodles. Oh, comment about
Well, I like what you're saying about one thing at a time, because I see that a lot where they're trying to like do 30 million things at once because they get really excited about income streams. But it's like that analogy, right? You have 4 soccer balls and 4 kicks. Like, you can get one across the field or you can kick each one a little bit. So yeah, focus I think is so important.
Focus, automate, build systems. That's literally my life when it comes to finances. Start learning, start it, automate it, or build systems around it, and then you move on to the next one. And then you do that again, and then you do that again, and then you do that again. And then 2 years from now, you'll look back and go, oh my goodness, I'm so diversified and I still have time. What else do I want to do? Maybe nothing. And that's an option too.
Yeah. Also, I think it's important to say that I think when people hear people like us talk about it, it seems like it's going to take a very long time. And I think it's, you and I have been doing this long enough where we've seen like you can make some, I don't want to say rapid because that kind of insinuates you have to do a lot of work all at once, but you can make a significant impact in just 1 or 2 years with your finances. Absolutely.
It compounds, right? And 100%. Even, I mean, compounding is the biggest thing, and that does take some time. But when it comes to setting up the structure, when it comes to changing your own mindset, I mean, months. I'm doing a workshop. Well, workshop is going to be complete by the time this is live or whatever. But I'm doing a workshop that I did about 3 months ago. And there was someone that joined my program after that last workshop. And when I look at what she's done in 3 months, I'm like, poof, like mind blown, right? Doesn't mean that compounding has done its work yet. So the benefit that I'm talking about is just in terms of like those foundation she's already set, the skills she's already developed, the mindset changes, and the investment she already started. And I'm just like excited about the fact that like a year or two or maybe three from now, she's going to look back and someone is going to come to her and go, that looked really, really quick. And she's going to go, wait a minute, let me tell you about 3 years ago when I knew nothing about money. So the key is, guys, just start. If you don't start, it's never going to get easier. It's never going to get more done. So if you think it's too late, this is literally the earliest it's going to be. Like, get started. If you think it's hard, it's probably because you're thinking it's too hard and you need to realize it's actually simple and look below. You're looking too high up. Diversify. Don't start by doing everything. Just start one at a time. That's all. And the key is not to panic and know that you are resourceful. You are a physician. Even if you're not practicing clinically, you already have the brain of a physician, which means that you have the ability to think about many organ systems and assessment of plans and x-rays and do a freaking soap.
Learn a lot.
You'll learn a lot. You can synthesize a lot of information. So we already know you're built for this. Did I miss anything that we said?
This is why you need coaches. Not to toot our own horns, but you mentioned so many things like mindset about money being hard and not panicking. And that's a whole mindset skill set that needs to be learned, right? Was that Tony Robbins that said all personal finance problems are mindset or strategy 80% or skill set based?
80% is what I say. I'm like 80% is mindset or habit, and then 20% is numbers.
Yeah. So, but yeah, because if you have the belief that money is hard or it's complicated or I'm too behind, like you're not going to do anything, right? Because you're going to keep thinking it's hard. And so, I mean, that's why we have jobs, I guess, because people need, and I don't mean this in like a derogatory way, but like just the power of how important it is to learn how to believe something new. Cause I think so many of our clients, like they didn't even know that they could believe something different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're saying this. And I agree 100%. It's, you know, why we literally do everything that we do when it comes to money. It's because it's not just, and I didn't realize that for a long time, but when I did, I told someone earlier that I literally cried because I was like, you mean I've been chasing thinking that it's 100% math, it's 100% whatever numbers, when no one was literally teaching me that 80% of this is psychology, mindset, and habit. And I'm like, if they had taught me, I would not be banging my head against the wrong door.
Isn't it interesting how we don't, I make fun of school a lot. I just feel like they don't actually teach you life skills, like how your brain is wired, how you think, why that's important, how to manage your emotions, how to deal with finances. Kind of important, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I think I also have, I wish they did a better job. And I've also adjusted my expectation and realized that that's also part of our job as communities, as parents, as aunties. I mean, the school can't do everything. Yes, I wish they did. But I, because of them and, you know, the number of hours their kids spend at school. But I also think the number of hours kids spend at school is the result of how our economy is set, where people work many, many hours. So, you know, I feel bad that we put all that pressure on teachers. And it's like, you know, people come to doctors and say, well, you talk to me about this, but the doctor didn't talk to me about all the herbs that are on the market. And I'm like, you know, I'm not supposed to teach you every single thing. And that's why I think it's important to equip ourselves as physicians, as humans, whether you have kids or not. Because even if you don't have kids, there are kids in your community that you can empower, or friends that have kids. And that's why I'm like, everybody needs to learn this stuff so that we can all partner and complement what the school is not doing. Then our teachers don't feel like they're doing such a sucky job when they literally don't even have enough tools that they need to do what they need to do.
Yeah. I don't blame the teachers. I just blame the way the system is set up, the educational system. But I agree with you, though. It's like they're there all day, not so much because of how much they have to learn, but because of our economy is set up with parents working 40 hours a week. And that's all made up. And I can talk about this stuff for hours.
Yeah, no, I could too. I mean, like, kids are literally in school all day. And especially if you're rested and are a fellow, shoot, we're the first to get there and the last to leave. How are we going to do it right? But that's why it's important to diversify, because when you're done with that season of your life, you get to have choices in how you spend your time. And I think nurses do a better job at that than physicians in terms of managing their time better and putting limits on their time and not working the maximum, not signing up for the maximum baseline. Nurses don't do that. Most of them like actually sign up for like part-time and then they work extra on top of it. But physicians were
I feel like three shifts a week is kind of what I hear a lot for nurses.
Yeah. So this has been good. I feel like I've just been, you know, press record and chatting with my people, and y'all get to learn from it. So I want us to share this with all humans, because this is important stuff. So if there are women physicians in your life, share a link to this episode. We want everybody to be empowered and to be enriched. Anything else you want to share with us, Bonnie?
I don't think so. I feel like we covered anything. But basically, it's like you're not alone and you're way more resourceful than you give yourself credit for.
Take care of yourself. All right, everybody. As always, a pleasure. Thank you for watching and sharing, and leave it as a review wherever you listen to this. All right. See you guys later.